Do you have a best friend, a friend that's been there through the ups and the downs? And can you imagine your life without them? This week's episode is with Hannah Rumsey. She is the founder and host of the Friends Missing Friends podcast.
In this episode, we discuss the unseen grief often experienced by people when a friend passes away, the importance of friendships, and the awesome resources that Hannah has created for friendship loss.
Welcome to the Two Girls with Grief podcast, the podcast where we share our real and raw experiences with grief. Whether it's tears or laughter, or maybe a little bit of both, we're here to figure it out in real time. We are your hosts. I'm Kendall Rogers.
And I'm Rachel Dwyer.
And while we're not professionals, we are professional grievers.
Every Tuesday, we bring you honest conversations that break down the stigma of grief, one episode at a time, because no one should have to grieve alone. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's navigate this journey together.
Well, welcome to the show, Hannah Rumsey. Thank you for being on with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, we are as well. So for those who don't know, Hannah Rumsey is the founder of Friends Missing Friends. She also hosts a podcast, the Friends Missing Friends podcast, and she is bringing to light conversations around friend loss and grief around losing friends. And I feel like that's a conversation we haven't really tapped into that much yet.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier today. I was like, I don't think we've talked about friendship loss at all, actually.
Yeah, we've talked about more familial loss and and I think that's kind of
partner loss.
Yeah. So this will be a really insightful conversation for not only us, but hopefully the listeners as well who have been looking for resources and a conversation around this. So Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So we like to start out the episodes by learning about a little about who you lost. So do you mind sharing about your friend Lauren and how your grief journey has looked like so far?
Absolutely. So it's always hard to know where to start, right? But I'll start with when Lauren and I met. So when I was 17 and she was 15, Lauren and I met at the Interlochen Summer Arts Camp, which is an arts camp in Michigan. And I played the trumpet and she played the French horn. So they're both brass instruments. And I literally could not have met her any sooner. Like I arrived, I got in the registration line and I met her in the registration line. And I love telling this story because it was also like Lauren and I would talk about it a lot. Like, oh my gosh, can you believe that's how we met? Because what actually happened was that, so I'm, especially then, still a little bit now, I'm pretty shy, introverted. My mom was in the line with me and I just knowing her, she was probably like, okay, I have to make Hannah a friend before I leave my daughter here for 6 weeks. And so she literally just tapped on the shoulder of the girl that was just standing directly in front of us, which ended up being Lauren. And she turned around and she was with her mom. And my mom was like, this is my daughter, Hannah. She plays the trumpet. What instrument do you play? And I was just like, Mom, stop. I was so embarrassed because you get embarrassed for like everything when you're that age.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you told her I play the trumpet. And Lauren's mom then, at least this is my memory of it. Lauren's mom was like, this is Lauren. She plays French horn. And then there was like this awkward silence. And then my mom said, well, you two should be friends. And I was like, oh my God, like you could at least be subtle. And yeah, but especially since losing Lauren, these memories get really solidified. So I can so clearly envision her smile in that moment because there was actually a really big shift where I was embarrassed and, you know, I was feeling shame and like whatever. And then Lauren smiled and it was like in her smile, she actually seemed really excited at the idea of being my friend. She was also kind of shy in that moment, but ends up she is shy when she meets you at first. But as soon as she's comfortable, she's like wild, like one of the most wild in the best way, like just so goofy, so out there. Like the best way I can describe her is that she would always laugh the hardest and the longest. She would always cry the hardest. She like didn't hold anything back. And one brief example just to show her personality is that like this was like the second day I met her. We were just walking around Interlochen and with no warning, she just darts off and starts galloping like a horse, like in full gallop and like neighing, neigh, like you're thrashing her hair and just no shame, just because she just felt like it, like a kid, like a child would do, you know, when they don't fear judgment. And then I just remember like joining in behind her, like no hesitation. I just joined in and we were both galloping. And it was that feeling where you're with someone like, and 100 people could be staring at us judgmentally, being like, y'all are being weird. But like, I felt so in tune with her and so like I belonged with her that I would have felt no shame. Like, I would have been like, y'all don't understand. We're the ones in the right now. Yeah, just that it's amazing how one person can make such a big difference where like on my own, I was shy, you know, ashamed, all these things. And then by her side, I was fearless.
It's giving girlhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing to find friends that like meet the vibe check, you know, just like exactly the same vibe and are willing to do the same things.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I feel like we were totally the same vibe. Like, it was like she unlocked that silly side of me that like, I want to be silly. Like, that's who I really am. But I feel like I hide it. So there was a lot of that kind of stuff that summer. Just like I explained it as like, it was like, it felt like 5 years of life, like packed really tightly into 6 weeks. Because like, at a summer camp, you spend every minute together. Like, you wake up, you spend every second, you eat meals, you go to class, you practice, rehearse. And real life isn't like that, as an adult, at least.
Yeah. I miss those times.
Me too. And why can't we have summer camps for adults?
You know, there is it's called like Camp Social, but I think it might be in the UK or abroad. I'm not sure if it's in the US, but basically it is. It's like for women to go to like camp as adults.
Okay. I'm going to for real check this out. This sounds great.
Not associated with them at all, but I just follow them on TikTok. And I was like, that's a really cool idea. That is a really cool idea. So there is something. I don't know if it'll have the same magic as it does when you're like a kid with no responsibility and no,
yeah,
I don't, no fear of the world yet. But you know, there might be. I think there is a beauty, especially with grief, I think, of finding a lot of your childhood joy again and kind of prioritizing that, because you lose so much life that I feel like it's nice to kind of go back to things that just made you purely happy. So I think that there's something beautiful with that, and kind of the story of losing Lauren. There's like the beauty of just like the simple things that sometimes life is just needs to be a little bit more simple.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, prior to the podcast, Hannah and I were talking, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? And
maybe last week.
Time blurs.
I think. Yeah, I'm the same. I don't know.
But it was such a good conversation that I just wish even that was recorded around the stigma of friend loss. And I have lost a couple friends, and I didn't even realize it's something I've even been unpacking in the past week, of how the grief is so different for when I lost my dad. And that's primarily like the grief I talk about on the show. But it's amazing that after the conversation with you last week, I realized like I haven't even given much like awareness to the friends that I had lost, like enough grief to really process that and understand it. And you had brought forth a lot of great points I had never considered even within myself. And these were my own experiences. And so I really want to touch on this point, the stigma around friend loss, and why culturally, maybe societally here, we do not seem to give it as much credit as we do familial loss. And in your own grief journey and your experiences, what have you noticed in that? And how do you think this conversation should be shifting?
Yeah, it's interesting, because it wasn't until probably about a year ago that I actually had a word for this phenomena, which is that friend loss is disenfranchised. There are lots of losses that are disenfranchised. Like the list is insanely long, because our society doesn't, like, surprise, surprise, our society doesn't deal with loss and grief well. It's like, as soon as I had a word for it, it was like all these things started to click into place. And it was the kind of general dismissal I was getting from society in general. I mean, like, my close friends and family were definitely checked in a lot and everything. But like, if someone beyond that heard, like, for example, I went back to work after a couple of days, because also, by the way, you don't get bereavement loss if you lost a friend. I think I used 2 sick days and then I just went back to work because I didn't know what to do with myself. And a coworker said, they all hugged me and said, like, I'm so sorry. And then one coworker said, you know, I lost a friend, you know, like several years ago, but I don't think about him that much anymore. And I think you'll be okay. I don't think you'll think about her much anymore. And that is like, and I don't blame her for that because, again, this is like the train we've been trained. So many of us have been trained to think that way, right? Which is just like friends aren't as important as family and familial, family and romantic partners. So it should be treated. So then it's like treated differently. Cause yeah, you think like if I had lost, I don't know, a family member, I don't think she would have said that to me. And I just remember being filled with so much rage that my hands started shaking. Cause I remember I was holding a piece of paper and the paper was fluttering. And all I could think in my head was, you have no idea how much Lauren means to me. So it's like, how dare you say, like, one day I won't think about her? Like, I will be thinking about her every day for the rest of my life. Like, and like, lots of stuff similar to that, just kind of dismissal, subtle or not so subtle. And then also the fact that there are very few resources for this specific type of loss. I think there is something very specifically healing when you gather with people who have lost, have the same or similar loss as you. And I would, you know, look up grief groups and go to websites and they'd be like, we offer parental loss, spousal loss, sibling loss, and pet loss. And it would be that. And it's like, I also want a presence. All of those should have their groups. This is not to say that those aren't valid, but it's like, but can we have a space too? And I wasn't finding that. And I remember thinking like, I'm probably just bad at Googling, like, probably just like not looking in the right place. And I remember I had a friend search for me. I was like, am I crazy? Like, can you search for a friend group? And she was texting me and she was like, oh my God, Hannah, I'm like on the 10th O of Google and there's nothing. And I was like, I'm not crazy.
That's so sad too. Like, you're on the 10th O of Google, you know, you're in the depths, like you're in the bottom of the barrel of Google trying to search for something.
Yeah. I feel like also, I think there's so much focus on like who you lost, but I think what's hard is that you never know what that person means to you, right? Like, someone could lose a parent that they don't ever talk to. Someone could lose a friend that's like a sister to them or a grandma that was their mother, you know, like that raised them, you know? Like, just saying the title doesn't convey their relationship necessarily. Like, you don't know what they, the closeness that they experienced or lack of closeness. So I think that's also hard. It's like people put so much on just like who they lost in their relationship and not on like, well, what does that mean? I've seen people fight, like, I lost my partner. You'll never understand what that means. Like, partner loss is the worst. And then there's people that, you know, like, divorce their partner and it was a bad relationship or something. You know, like, just meaning it's your partner doesn't mean that that's, like, the number one relationship in your life, right? Like, you just, it's so nuanced that it's such a crazy thing that people don't talk about. They just want to, like, put it in these buckets. But it's so much deeper than that because, like, you don't know who's there for somebody or their relationship to somebody. It's like, let's focus less on like who they were to the, like their exact title and maybe like who they were to them, you know, or what that means. Because but grief is so misunderstood in general that people just want to like organize it and label it and make it make sense when it really just doesn't make sense at the end of the day. Like, it's just a weird, unexplainable feeling.
I so agree. And yeah, we absolutely have this need to label and have a hierarchy. Like, in my search for understanding why friend loss was being treated this way, I started doing research on how friendships are treated. So like, when the friend is still alive, like just the concept of a friendship. And I found some really good books about it. Like, I don't know if y'all have heard about the book Platonic. by Dr. Marissa G. Franco. It's really interesting. She goes into the science and research behind friendships. And she says again and again how friendships are treated as the lowest tier of relationships. And this is true in the laws that we have or don't have. This is true in just how everything is set up. And it's like, you don't even necessarily realize it, but like little things will pop up. Like I was on a road trip with my really close friend, and she was going to a wedding and she had a plus one. And she was like, oh, I'll bring you. And then she double checked and she came back to me. She was like, I can't bring a friend, actually. I can only bring like a partner. And as I was like looking into more stories about that, and I know there's logistical things, like it's expensive to have plus ones, and I totally understand that, but it's just like, it's things like that everywhere. And I actually saw this clip on Instagram of Trevor Noah talking about that exact thing. He was like, why can't you bring your best friend as a plus one? Like, that's messed up. Like, are you saying these two people who've been married for like 6 months are allowed to go together? And my best friend of 25 years, I can't bring him. Like, and I'm like, yes, Trevor, you get it. So it's like all these things, visitation rights in the hospital. Like, I've talked to people whose friends were dying and they couldn't visit them in the hospital. I mean, so many things, like the list goes on. And even like in how we treat each other, like she was saying in the book that it's considered maybe more normal to cancel a plan last minute with a friend, but it's not considered as normal to do that with a partner.
Interesting.
And when I thought back, I've had friends cancel on me for their partner. Yeah. So it's just like, it kind of blows my mind a little bit when I think of how like entrenched this is in our society, that it's like, oh, I'm sorry, it's platonic love and you're not related to them, then it doesn't matter as much. Yeah, it's wild to me.
That is wild. And that's true with friendships. I think you hear of so many times people get married and their other friendships don't matter until like maybe they get divorced or they have problems. It's like life shouldn't just be like the married people and the not married people or whatever. You know, there's so many different relationship types. It should never be like either or, right? It's like
right.
You should be able to keep friendships throughout any phase of your life. It's not always as easy during different phases of your life, you know, if you're different life phases, but that doesn't mean it needs to end. But I think something that I've seen that is so much more popular today to say is like, protect my peace. But I think it's gone too far where it's like, if there's anything that goes wrong, any issue, people are like, I need to protect my peace and end this friendship. And it's like, it's not so black and white, you know, like you're not going to get along with some person every single time. But obviously, it depends on like the level of the issue. But someone could disappoint you one time. People are human. And I think because of the internet and because of everything, people expect way too much from people that are just trying to be humans and survive their own life as well. But on the other side as well, I think the internet has made people lazy in friendships. So I think there's like two competing things of people expecting too much and then people getting lazy in how they have to support friends or like loved ones. Like even I've brought this up before, like even the act of like picking someone up from the airport or like willing to pick them up instead of being like, just take an Uber. It's something like that. And maybe that's more popular in like cities than other areas, but people will not pick you up from the airport. In San Francisco, people are like, they expect you to Uber. You know, they won't do that. And I'm like, well, if I can, I'll pick somebody up. Because it's just like a nice thing. Like, I like being picked up from the airport. You know, I don't want to spend like sometimes $80, $100 to get home, even though it's like 20 miles. You know, like, I don't want to do that. It's like, there are people that love me enough to do that, but they just don't think about that because everyone just Ubers all the time. And it takes away that, like, moments together or just like showing someone love in a simple way, it like takes that away. So I think there's like that competition of things that's really kind of breaking down friendships or just like the degree of friendships now, I think, or like just like that level of friendship. So there's a lot of things going on in the world.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I don't think I heard about that protect my peace, but I can totally see how people are maybe more likely to just jettison a relationship rather than actually work on it. And to all your listeners, read the book Platonic, because she actually goes step by step on how to have a difficult conversation with a friend. She's like, she's super pro friend. She's like, a friendship can, maybe even should be as much work as a romantic relationship. Like, why are we investing all this time and effort on romantic relationship that we're not necessarily putting that time and effort into friendships? And like, why can't it be normal for two friends to go to couples counseling, you know?
Yeah.
And I just loved that.
I remember telling Rachel last season, and specifically in our, I think our dating episode or maybe our friendship episode, and that I have prioritized my friendships much more since the passing of my dad. One, because they scraped me off the ground when I was like literally probably the worst form and version of myself. And they were still there to help me and figure things out with me and were so forgiving and graceful as I tried to figure out grief. My family is super great, but they were also grieving my dad. So they also weren't in any space to, I think, be the best support or resource. Whereas my friends had that space and they could be there. I remember telling you last week, I cannot imagine like the feeling and loss that you deal with on a daily basis. Cause like, I'm gonna like, cry right now, but if I lost like one of my friends, like it would rock me. Like it's going to be, it would be such a heavy, heavy grief the way I would feel like towards my sister or even towards like my dad. You and I had talked about kind of like that nuance of grief around friendships and that with friendship loss, there is like, or like loss of a friend, I shouldn't say friendship loss. I feel like that's a different element there, but there's so many unexpected emotions that kind of come out. And I think back to like your comment of like, Lauren was my best friend, but I still don't even know if like she thought of me of her best friend. And can I say that? And I'm not sure if I'm even allowed to grieve this. And I've thought that so much, even in the past week since we've spoke about, there is this like element of uncertainty that we don't even have. Because, you know, in regards to Rachel and I, like our dad, or our dads were our dad. Like, there's no question about that. Like, Rachel's sister is her sister, and that won't ever change. That's like cemented. But friendship, that's something, you know, that's kind of malleable that can change. And so, do you mind like lending a little bit of insight to these unexpected thoughts or emotions that people might run into with the loss of a friend that they like? Because you've brought up so much with me that I had never even considered. And we've been talking about grief for almost a year now, and I never even considered this perspective of it.
Yeah, it's wild, just all of the thoughts and doubts that I am only now starting to untangle, and it's been 10 years, almost 10 years since her loss. And again, like the being able to label it as disenfranchised grief made me understand that the outside world disenfranchising it get seeped into my subconscious, and then I end up disenfranchising myself. And so that looked like all of these doubts and questions that would pop up, like, am I even allowed to call her my best friend? Because yeah, like I was telling you, she was my best friend, but was I her best friend? And then would I, she be upset if she knew I was running around saying, you know, my best friend? And so like, honestly, like maybe even just a couple weeks ago, I owned it and I was like, she was my best friend. So why couldn't I say she was my best friend?
Yeah.
Like it's the same. Yeah. You know, like logically it doesn't make sense. So for years I said my dear friend, my beloved friend, my close friend. Like I was scared to say best. And one reason for that is because I met her other best friend or her best friend at her funeral. And the thing with the term best friend, and I always quote the show The Mindy Project, because Mindy says to someone, best friend isn't a person, it's a category. And so like, I see it as a category, but not everyone sees it that way. Some people see it as one person. Yeah. So like, I didn't want to step on this other friend if she saw it as a person. And if she saw herself as Lauren's best friend, I didn't want to upset her by being like, well, I'm also her best friend, you know, because I don't know. I don't know how it works. Like you were saying, it's malleable. It's flexible.
Yeah. And some people are territorial about other people, whereas other people are like, hey, the more the merrier.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, feelings of jealousy came up. Like at the funeral, I met her other best friend who was lovely, like just the nicest, kindest, sweetest person. And I was just horrified at myself for feeling jealousy because, like, she had the label of best friend. Like, even like I went into Lauren's bedroom and there was like those photo booth photos of the two of them on her mirror that said best friends, best friends, best friends. And I was just, and there was no proof of me anywhere in the bedroom. And like, when you're in that state of grief, like what is left in the bedroom, you think it means everything. Like, most of my friends aren't in my room right now. And that doesn't mean I love them any less. But I was like, why aren't I here? Oh my gosh, like maybe I meant less to her than I thought. And just like questioning and doubting and like, yeah, like you were saying, like, am I allowed to feel this sad? Am I like exaggerating how close we were because my sadness is like amplifying it? And then even if that were true, even if that's how grief works, but I don't know if it is, I felt guilt about that. But why would I have to feel guilt about that? So it's like all of these emotions that like are really common. And because I've talked to other people who have lost friends and they'd be like, yeah, I thought this, you know, I was like, am I allowed to call her my best friend? All these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're literally like, it's like I'm looking in a mirror and we're all feeling this separately in silos. Yeah. And I'm like, can we stop suffering in isolation and can we come together and talk about this? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. I think also as adults, what I realize is like, this might be a friend that's like fun to go on a trip with. This might be a friend that I share this part of myself. This might be a friend that I just like, I love hanging out with. And like, sometimes it's like one friend doesn't have to be all of that. And I feel like friendships where that was like the thought were sometimes the most drama because there's so much like, this is my best friend or fighting over this, or I need to be this friend. And I'm like, I don't want that drama. Also, now that I've lost so many people, I really have a low like threshold for drama that I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna walk away. Like, I really don't have the space for this. Mm-hmm. To me, this isn't a big issue. Like, it's a harder thing where I'm like, I used to be the person that would talk to people all the time, listen to all of their problems for hours and hours, but I'm like, I can't do that anymore. I can't be that type of friend. I just don't have that in mm-hmm. me. Like, I have to choose happiness every day. And it's harder when I'm taking on your sadness that I have sadness every day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard. And it's not that I can't, that I'm not willing to take on that sadness, but I've had friendships where they required me to take on their sadness every single day and it would be the same. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, they probably should have been going to therapy and not. Cause I don't know how to help you in that way, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't know how to help you in a way that is gonna be long-term help, right? Because it would just be like repetitive. And so I realized like sometimes like friends can just be in different categories mm-hmm. and they can kind of fit you in different ways. And that to me is fine. Like, I have friends that I love for different reasons. And I think it's a very special friendships, but I no longer put that all in one person. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a lot. And I have a lot of different interests and a lot. I've changed a lot because of all the loss that. Yeah, I love having friends that like I might talk about books with or talk about this or that, you know, like just friendships about different things. And yeah, I value those friendships mostly the same, you know, not necessarily all the same, but I think there's like beauty in having friends for different parts of yourself. Like, I think we expect sometimes that people have to be everything to everything that you are. And sometimes it's okay that they don't like the things that you like, you know, you can have friends that like the things that you like. I think that's important to think about too.
Yeah, it was even funny because last year, and I think it was before a support group meeting, and I had told Rachel, like, I'm sorry, I just found out I had lost a friend last night to suicide. And Rachel's like, well, do you want to talk about it in support group or do you just kind of like want to not talk about it? Because it had just happened. It was so fresh. And I didn't even know like quite how to dig into that yet. And I was like, well, I had to think about it. Kind of like you, Hannah, of like, well, I went on a study abroad trip with her for a few weeks. Should I even be allowed to be sad about this? Like, am I allowed to go to the funeral? Like, am I allowed to express how sad I am about her? Or is that fake? Like, are people going to think like I'm like searching for trauma just because this person, like, even though I hadn't went on a trip for her in a few weeks and hadn't seen her in a while. Like, it was like a life-changing experience. And she was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, like talking to her parents, she was like, oh, that study abroad trip meant so much to her. Like, she had the time of her life. Like, y'all don't even know how important that was to her. I was like, okay, like that was a little assuring that like her parents were like, happy that her study abroad friends were there. But yeah, even then, like we've been talking, I was like, yeah, I really need to kind of like learn more about this in my own heart, about why I felt like I needed to quickly package it up and put it away, and why I haven't talked more about that type of grief, even on a podcast where we talk about grief. The only type of grief I've really focused on was about my dad and not these other losses that I've experienced.
Yeah. I'm so sorry that happened. That's awful. What's her name?
Her name was Noelle. And she was a cherub angel, curly blonde hair, very just beautiful and feminine in like a classic like 1950s type of way. There are some other things I'm sure that were happening, but we just were so charmed by her. She was so quiet and observant of people. And she kind of, when we first started the study abroad, she kind of was like on her own and didn't really like open up that much. And that's okay, because like we were with a whole bunch of strangers. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the trip, like she just really blossomed and everybody just adored her and embraced her so wholly. And there was like no question about it. Like, and when we all learned about her passing, like it was my best friend on the trip. She had called me and just like tears. And I just like knew it was I just knew it was so bad. But like, without a doubt, some of us made the trip down to go to her funeral. And it was very packed house, packed to the brim. So many people were there, which was also just like really heartfelt to know that a lot of people cared for her. And I think same thing, like she was so shy at first, but then after getting to know her, just like such a beautiful person. It's kind of, you know, even now I think like the world is at a loss without her here.
Yeah.
I'm sure you feel the same.
Yeah, I do. And I think that you also, what you were saying about how like, you know, I was only with her a few weeks. I've come to learn that like the time doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like I could know someone for 20 years and not be as close to them as someone I've known for like 2 weeks. And it's like, part of that is I know from my experience with Lauren, like we only had 6 weeks together in person. The rest of the friendship was virtual. And that was also something that went through my head. Like, we were only together 6 weeks. Like, you know, kind of like you were saying, like, am I being dramatic?
Yeah.
You know, but like, just because of how the world is and how dismissive it is in general, and with friend loss specifically, we just feel this need to squash our love down. Like, no, I don't love that much. I don't love that much. I don't love that much. But I think we all have so much more love than I think we're even able to realize or admit to or even understand. And yeah, I just wish we didn't have to kind of play it down.
Yeah, it's been really interesting with this podcast in particular, in the amount of questions that Rachel and I get about how we met, and people are like, y'all don't even live in the same state and y'all only met in person once and y'all have known each other for less than a year. And we talk about our worst days and our most tragic moments together. And I'm like, yeah, like it was funny because I first met her, I was in a work trip in San Francisco. And I was like, well, I'm in town, might as well meet Rachel in person, even though we've been talking about, you know, all the tragedies of our lives together for a couple months now. Mm-hmm. And everybody at work was like, you're going to meet a stranger you met online on the internet. I'm going to die. And I was like, I don't think I will. I'm not getting serial killer vibes from her. But I mean,
yeah, like she stayed at my apartment, so they're like, you're staying at someone's place that you've never met in person.
Yeah, they're like, you're breaking like every rule. And I was like, I don't know, I feel like if I've told her already about like my dad's passing and literally like, all the things I've had to work through with my own grief, like, and she's still a friend of mine, like I think she's gonna be okay.
Like, after a visit, plot twist, you're just one girl with grief now.
Suddenly, one went missing.
Yeah. And I was like 6 feet tall and I'm 5'4". So I feel like if anyone was going to get the jump, it'd probably be Kendall, even though Kendall's like a very like sweet, kind person. So I can't see her actually doing that. But if you saw us together, there's definitely one person with advantage here. with the height. But it felt so natural. Like I didn't even think about it at all in those terms until Kendall was like telling me what her coworkers were saying. Because it was like, when she told me she was coming, I was like, oh yeah, stay with me. Like, let's go make plans for the weekend and do all this stuff. I was so excited for when she came. And like, it never even crossed my mind at all about any of that. And their coworkers were like saying that. I was like, oh. You know, when you say it like just like that, it just sounds sketchy.
With no context, yeah.
Yeah, like it sounds sketchy, but I was like, but I feel like me and Kendall are like such great friends. We just from like us talking all the time, you know, and I didn't even think at all like, oh, Kendall's unsafe. Why should I not allow her to like stay in my apartment or anything? Like that never crossed my mind. And yeah, it's just funny because like, I mean, it worked out. We're still friends. Everyone's still alive.
And this is not a go out and find strangers on the internet to stay at their apartments. This is not that. We had established a repertoire. But to your point, Hannah, like, I don't even know when exactly Rachel and I met in the support group training, but less than a year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, mm-hmm. Rachel knows parts of my grief that many people in my life won't even understand until they go through that situation themselves. And I would hate for them to have to experience some of the things that Rachel and I have experienced, you have experienced. Like, I don't want people to have to feel the pain of grief that we deal with on a daily basis. But like Rachel has, like you have, y'all, you know parts of grief that I can't even put into words or explain. And that does create like a bond. And that is a part of the community that Rachel has built and that we have found through the podcast and on our social channels of like speaking to that type of grief. And I want to bring up something that you've been doing. We talked about kind of like the lack of resources that exist. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier, Rachel and I were talking earlier, like there already is kind of a lack of resources for grief in general. But when you look at resources for grief, it's very much specified to like one type of grief. It's like right after the loss and very much geared towards family. And so with your 10th O on Google and revealing that there's not a lot of friendship grief support out there, what have you been doing to kind of help others through the similar situation you have, and more specifically, like your grief group and your other initiatives you've been working on?
Yeah. So I just started, today was the second session, actually, a virtual friend loss grief group.
Yay!
Yeah, and it's been amazing. I mean, don't worry, I won't reveal any confidential information about people in the group, but like today we each shared stories about like how we met our friend and just like our favorite memories with our friend, and we were laughing and crying, and like I really felt like I was getting to know their friends, and it was just like an amazing experience. Like, I don't think I'd ever sat like in a circle. I'm doing circle in quotes because it was on Zoom, in a circle and been like, tell me about your friend. No, tell me about your friend. And yeah, just like about our sadness and also just how much we love them and how much we miss them. In everyday life, you get that never. I mean, like, it just doesn't happen. You have to make it happen. So I'm excited to keep offering that. And everyone, every single person who's joined was like, I could not find a friend loss grief group. So I'm so glad that you have this. And I'm like, that's so wild to me because like, I'm not a mental health professional. It's a peer support group. And I'm like, I'm some random girl and I'm the only one who has a group. That doesn't make any sense. I'm just some girl or some woman, you know, like,
yeah.
And that you and I were talking about podcast stuff and you were like, I was looking for like advice and guidance around friendship loss, and you then created your own podcast around it. And I can't imagine, like, you know, I don't exactly know like who all our listeners are and what type of grief they're experiencing, but I really do hope that those experiencing friendship loss like can use your podcast as a resource and a tool to kind of like process some of those like heavy emotions that Rachel and I haven't even like tapped on our own show.
Yeah. And I it's interesting because podcasting is like a unique experience because like sometimes you do get feedback, but sometimes it's like you have no idea who's listening and the effect you have. So there were months and months where I'm like, am I just talking to myself in my closet? Like, because I used to do it in my closet. And I was like, should I keep, like, I don't know if anything is happening from this. And sometime like a year ago, I was just like way too bit. I was really busy in life and overwhelmed and was barely keeping up with the podcast. And I was like, maybe I should like take a break from it and step away for like a little bit. And then I'm not kidding. Like maybe 2 days later, I got a listener email. I was like, oh my gosh, it was like my first listener email. And just like 10 paragraphs of just like her story and how much the podcast means to her. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing the podcast. Like I reached one person at least, and hopefully I'll reach more. Yeah, I mean, I hope it helps people feel more validated and seen and understood, because so much of the world is not validating it. So,
right. Yeah.
I'm curious, Kendall mentioned about, we talked about like the lack of resources, but when you look back or even now, like what resources, I mean, you seem like you're kind of making all the resources that you needed at the time, but do you remember like what resources you wish you had at the time when you lost, when you first lost Lauren, like what you wished was out there?
Yeah. I would have loved to join a group of people around my age who had also lost a friend, because I was 23, and I think, you know, grief is so isolating. You feel like you're the only one, even though you're not literally the only one. But it was like, I know they're out there. Where are they? Like, how do I find them?
Yeah.
How do I know I'm not, you know, the only early 20s young woman who's lost a friend? And yeah, I mean, I have all these ideas popping up of like other little things I want to do, because I also look back and think of like the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours I spent crying alone on my bed, and how incredibly, like, sometimes being alone is healing, but it was like too much alone time. Like I it was so isolating. And so I just have this idea that hasn't left my head that I don't know why I'm scared to start. I should just do it. But like where I'm like, you know, every week at this day and time, I'll be on Zoom. You don't have to turn your camera on, and we can all just like, you can cry, you can lie in bed and cry and just know that someone else is there, like also online. I don't know. I feel like that would have been comforting. Like even I would have like joined a Zoom and like had my camera off and just cried. And at least knowing like other people were also crying.
Like your grief like, office would have hours made me almost. Feel
better. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like that, grief office hours. Yeah.
Our friend Rebecca Feingloss, who's the founder of Grieveleave, she was talking about having sad hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I need to follow up with her.
It's like a happy hour, but for grief. And she was like, because there was no like social, there isn't a social part. I mean, unless you're like Rachel and I, who were like many years after our loss, found a support group and then found each other. But we did not initiate any like, I don't know. Yeah, you tried other support groups, but I hadn't really even thought about it until last year, of the importance of like having a community that understands your grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like now more than ever. Also, for those who are hesitant about joining a grief community, it's okay to try multiple different options. That's okay. You don't have to like find one and stick with it for the rest of your life. You can hop around and find things that work for you. But that there is like something so healing, and I've done more healing in my grief in less than a year knowing Rachel and joining our support group than I have in the past four before that, because there is something just really nice to recognize someone, to recognize my grief, and then for them to be like, oh, I feel the same thing. I've been there. You're not alone in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same for me. And then I've been grieving since, it's been 11 years for my dad. So like, it's been a long time. I mean, 11, 9, and 7 years. So a long time coming. And I never confronted it as much or sat with it or like talked about it this past year in these spaces. Mm-hmm. And then so people like understand what you're feeling, or, you know, appreciate you sharing because they have a hard time with it. We had our friend Alex Ospo on, and she's a fantasy writer. She's writing about the loss of her sister and turning into this afterlife series. And she said, like, you guys are so great at speaking about your grief. Like, I'm so amazed by that. And we're like, oh, this is this is so new for us, you know? And we're like, I appreciate that you see it that way. Because for us, it's like, so like, it's so new. It's such a, you know, a few years ago, no one would expect me to be talking about it because I never talked about it. Mm-hmm. But even talking about it in this space has made me more open to talk about it in other spaces. Because I used to feel like, oh, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to say anything to my friends. And so a lot of people are like, oh, she's, you know, she's either doing okay or whatever, because I never talk about it. But it made me feel like confident, like I can just say if I'm sad, like I can say that I had a bad day or I cried today. And I don't have shame for that anymore, because my love for the people that I've lost is so big. That if I cry over a random video of, like, the Jenner sisters, like, hugging a vase that has their hug marks in it. Like, that's just my life now, because I miss my sister. You know? Yeah. There's just things that happen because of that, that I'm forever changed. You know, I don't always see, like, I see a video and I think of different things than I would before, grief and so much loss. You know, it has really changed me, but I now I'm, like, so more accepting of that, that just... that is my life. And it's just not going to look how I thought it was going to be, but I have to like navigate what that looks like now. But yeah, I mean, this whole time, it's like, it's so different. Last year is so different than this year. And I feel a lot lighter because of that, like of just like releasing all of the feelings and just like letting it out.
Yeah. And specifically to mention Alex Ostebo, that she had lost her sister. And obviously this is not, I was a part of the conversation asking, but obviously I saw something like, and it's sad to say, but like something unlocked in Rachel because someone else has recognized that sister grief and they share that, that bond that, you know, I hope knock on wood that I don't have to go through that pain and grief. But I saw something like really something blossom in Rachel and like that Alex brought because they can recognize each other's grief. There's something like, despite that there's a level of a lot of pain there, that they had this like bond that shows up in the show. I feel like I think it's very visible on the show to see like Rachel really tap into this part of her grief about her sister, and that someone else could recognize that and see it and be like, I've been there and I feel that too. And I don't want to speak on your behalf, but
no, it is. It's kind of one of those things where you see like so many times you see someone post about something, right? About like their grief or their loss. Sometimes people either come at it as like, I lost this person, or maybe they like, you know, kind of trauma dump their whole experience with loss. And, you know, there's so many different like what's right, what's wrong, whatever. I try to not like say anything unless it's like something like, oh, someone lost their sister. It's like, then I try to say like, you know, I lost a sister too type of thing. Cause I feel like there's just like that pain of like losing a, you know, sister is, if you're close to your sister, like it's a really hard relationship to lose. You know, like the person, like I used to never talk about my feelings to like, besides people that are dead, you know? So it's like, it was so much work to like, okay, I can open up to other people and not just keep that in. Cause that's, you know, years and years of not releasing any of that emotion. Cause all the people I felt comfortable talking to about it are gone, you know? And there's that like kinship of like, oh, you get like that. And like Kendall has a sister, so she knows like how special a relationship is, you know? But it's just like, it's a pain that, like, I feel that pain just even talking about it. I feel it in my heart, you know, like, my heart is, like, shattered. Like, it is shattered. And I don't think, like, that's something people talk about. It's, like, there's such, it's, like, you get, like, that type of, like, oh, God, that sucks so bad. You know, like, losing my parents is obviously tough, but losing a sibling that you expect to, like, will be here for the entirety of your life.
Yeah.
Is like a different pain. And that can be for different relationships, too. It doesn't have to be just your sister, but. Yeah, it is something where you see someone, they're like, I just get how in pain you are, you know, and I think there's that kinship. So like, even like friendship, you know, you can understand someone's friendship. It's like some friends you spend all your time with, right? Like some friends, they know your deepest secrets. They're people that you're most comfortable with. And, you know, a loss like that, it's like people don't always get like, it's hard if you lose like the person that you feel like that gets you the most. Mm-hmm. And then what are you left with? You're left with like feeling like no one understands me.
Yeah, that's also really hard when like the person I would go to for comfort is the one that's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really hard.
I think like with friendship loss, and not to say that like, I mean, sisterhood, friendship, like complicated relationships, perfect relationships, whatever. But I mean, these are two relationships you imagine living with your whole life. And I think like we talk about that a lot with the grief Rachel experiences around her sister is like she expected, and I expect too. I expect to live with my sister my whole life.
Yeah.
To have
she yeah, better.
To have that robbed yeah. would totally shake me to my core. Like, yeah, I would be fundamentally changed. But that would be the same with a friend as well. Like, cause you like I think of my friends now and I'm like, I do imagine living the rest of my life and they are a part of that world I'm building in my head about my future. For them not to be a part of it, you know, like me and my best friend McKenna talk about like growing old all the time together and joking about that. But then you think like in this case, like the worst case, the horrible case, like what if that is not the reality? And that's very much the reality like Rachel experiences without her sister, that you've experienced without Lauren. I understand why people change fundamentally after this, because these aren't people that you expect mm-hmm. to be with you your entire life. These are the people you trust the most.
I think no matter the amount of time you have with someone, it's never enough. You know,
yeah. Like,
you lose your parents at your 20s, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Like, it's never enough time with them. You still got so little time with your dad. You know, like, you expect your parents to pass away, but not that yeah. early. You know, mm-hmm. not that soon. It's like, you still need them. And for so many things, I mean, Kendall talking, like, I think probably a few months ago about something she needed help with. And she's like, I don't know how to do this. I don't have a dad. You know, like, I don't have him to help me with this. Mm-hmm. And that's something that happens all the time. It's like, you still need your parents. You just need your people. Like, whenever you get robbed time with someone that's important to you, it's just like, it's never fair.
Yeah.
It's so true. The amount of time that humans live is not enough time to be with someone you love.
No, it's never enough.
So I do want to touch on a great resource that Hannah has compiled on her website as I was like nosily snooping around on the friendsmissingfriends.com. You have aggregated this gorgeous list of grief books for people. And so we do have yeah. like a griefy book account. And I think like we can share those griefy books because they're very poignant about grief, friendship, and then like grief of a friend. Like you kind of cover like these mm-hmm. three different topics very well. And so if you are someone listening, like, and you need that resource, she's got it there, but we will share it again on our space somewhere with our book club account. Because I was like, oh my gosh, like this girl has done all this work to bring it together. Like how amazing.
Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, I love reading. You can see the books behind me. I have read every memoir I can find on friend loss. And I know there's more out there that I don't know of yet, but those have helped me feel really seen. And that's why I put them in their own separate category, like grief, you know, friendship and friend grief. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we need each other's stories. And that's why books and other pieces of art are so powerful. Like they reflect life back to us. I just think they're so important.
Has there been any other resources that you found recently that you would want to plug or share for anybody who might be experiencing this?
It's a good question.
And if you don't have an answer, that's okay.
Yeah, no, like I must think of something. Well, so in addition to books, I love movies and TV. And have y'all seen the show Fleabag?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I've seen a few episodes. I haven't seen a ton. I think, Kendall, you mentioned that to me.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a reference in there that you mentioned to me.
Yeah. Oh my God. Love Fleabag.
I love it. It's first of all, it's hilarious. So watch it even just for that. But like it, I mean, it's not super spoilers. You find out in episode one, but it does involve friend loss. And it was like, I just remember like being so blown away because it was also when I watched it for the first time a few years ago, I really needed that my life reflected back to me. And I was like, oh my God, this is the first time I've seen friend loss on TV. That wasn't just like maybe glossed over. It was like, that is the emotional core of this show. And I like bawled my eyes out. I was like sobbing. It's such a good show. Yeah, I recommend it to everyone. And also like if you want to see a show with friend loss.
For book form, that's something me and Kendall talk about is like when a book talks about grief, we always like discuss with ourselves, like, has this person experienced grief or are they just using it as a plot? Because I sometimes see it like I read a book recently and it was like a romance book, but it was like the guy had lost his like brother, but it was like barely in there. Like didn't talk about the gravity of the situation. It just kind of like mentioned a few times, you know, like this has changed him, or like, or it's like dad lost, but you know, they mentioned it, but it's like not the impact of it, right? It just kind of mentioned like, oh, that's a sad thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's also, yeah, like, oh, that's why the way that he is, that's why he's like a grump or whatever, you know, like it just kind of is like, it's supposed to attribute like to this character, right? Like maybe that's why he's like grumpy to sunshine type character. Mm-hmm. And it never really goes into it as much. And so when we ever reread books for the Griefy Girls book club, we're like, no, this is, they probably haven't, or like we, they must, from the way that like these lines feel, like they have to know, or they did some really good research.
Mm.
And I think that's such a good thing to like think about, because I think a lot of understanding people have of grief is shows and books, yeah, which often have a happy ending or don't dive into it very deeply. Mm-hmm. So you miss that deep understanding of it because you think like if there's a happy ending, or, you know, if it's not addressed multiple times, which grief is with you always,
mm-hmm,
that's not really ever carried out in books clearly enough, like not nearly enough, that mm-hmm, it's like you think of it that way, that it's like this thing that happened and like that is a part of you, but you don't really talk about it, and they'll just be like, oh, you're grumpy because of it, or you're mean because of it, or whatever, but it isn't, that doesn't really break down at all like how it really is, you know, or like how it really feels. And mm-hmm, there's just not enough that really talk about it. But me and Kendall always like discussing like if we think that they actually have or not, mostly for my books, because Kendall's are memoirs, which like obviously if they're writing about it, it's their story.
Yeah.
It's all my picks that are like fantasy, and we're like, they have to. So
yeah.
They're like, how do I make this person sad? I know, there was a death. Like,
yeah. Very much like the Disney like effect, where it's like, how come every Disney princess like has lost both her parents? And you're like, this grief would fundamentally transform her and be an active part of her life. Like, this isn't just an mm-hmm isolated event that then goes away. And that's what we talk about a lot about books, is like, did the author just use this as a plot device to make them sad? Or is this like a part of the story? Grief woven into it, because that's how grief is. Like, after you lose somebody, grief is woven into, it feels like every part of your life.
It's so true. And I have another movie recommendation. Have y'all seen All of Us Strangers?
No.
It's on Hulu. Actually, funnily enough, it has a connection to Fleabag, because the actor who played the hot priest main character. Everyone loves Hot Priest. I love him too. Andrew Scott. He's such a good actor too. And All of Us Strangers is about the grief of his parents' death. And it touches on an aspect of grief that is not touched on enough, which is like 30 years later. And I don't want to spoil anything, but like one thing it touched on was like the grief of realizing they would not recognize me now. They wouldn't really know who I am, which is a part of grief that is not talked about, that like there's the grief of the loss, and then there's all these griefs that are added onto it for the rest of your life.
That's so funny.
Because they're still not there.
Because we were literally talking about that today with another griefy friend, and she was like, you experience like grief again. She's like, I experienced it when I got married and my mother had passed away so long ago. And she was like, and my mother was never there to see me get married. And that's another aspect of like grief that comes back again. You know, you could do all the healing and therapy in the world, but like these moments continue to happen, exactly to what you say. Like, you keep living and it's like, they don't get to see me become either a really good person, or if you become a bad person, that's even worse, where you're like, I let them down.
Like, they'd be disappointed. Yeah. Or upset. Yeah.
The same time, like, understandable, right?
It's like, well, no wonder I'm on this trajectory for life. I lost people.
Yeah. And just, that's why I'm the grumpy one. So before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners, or like last thoughts about friend loss, or even like how to connect with you about different friend stuff?
Yeah. Feel free to reach out to me. You can go to friendsmissingfriends.com. Everything is easy to remember because it's always friends missing friends. So it's friendsmissingfriends@gmail.com. My Instagram handle is friendsmissingfriends. And yeah, you can email me. I'm not at the point yet where I'm getting hundreds of emails, so I will respond to each one in detail. I have friend loss grief groups available. Reach out to me about that if you want to join, or if you're interested. And then lastly, something I want to say, because, and I say this a lot on my Instagram page, just because like it was one of the biggest things I struggled with, with my friend grief was your grief is valid. And I have a lot of like, even if you knew your friend for a week, even if you didn't have the label of best friend, even if their family doesn't know who you are, even if you weren't invited to the funeral, even if you knew them for one summer 30 years ago, even like all of these things that we question, your grief is valid.
It's so important to remind people because like even I need that reminder. Mm. And I talk about this a lot.
Also, just on the side point of funerals and like maybe not getting invited, funerals are so weird. And it's also really hard to sometimes know like who to invite.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't always know who someone's close to. You don't know who needs to be there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing. And sometimes you don't want to like feel like you're burdening people or, you know, it's a lot. So it is a hard thing if you're not invited. Just know it's probably, there's a lot more going on that may, like, it's a lot easier to not be invited to a funeral than I think people most think. It's not like a wedding where people are alive and there's active planning. And it's like, you know, you're actively thinking about who you want to be there when you, would who you love. It's like the person that loves you or you love them is no longer here. They don't have a voice of who's invited. So it's a lot more gray area for that type of stuff, like the guest list and everything. Like it's a lot harder to know those things and get 100% correct.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Because also like most funerals happen pretty quickly and the people planning them are so distraught and they have to do all this work and they can't even, they might even be able to think straight. They're so in heavy grief. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That's such a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was in that bucket too of like, yeah, I only had days to plan a funeral and I didn't know who, I didn't have numbers for people. I was like, I don't know how to get in contact with some of the people I know who should be here. I think what I did was like an open Facebook post on my Facebook because my dad didn't even have one, but I did it on mine and people showed up, but I think a lot about the people who may have really wanted to attend and found out too late or upset that they didn't get the information prior. And fortunately, I've had a lot of people be very like graceful with me and being like, yeah, you're right. Like it's so chaotic. And if you're doing it for the first time, you're like, I don't know how to do any of this. I don't know how like the functions of all of this. I'm not checking obituaries every day. Like maybe I will when I'm like 92, but right now I'm not checking the newspaper obits to see if I know
anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't think anyone, I don't think people are really doing that anymore. I don't think everyone posts obituaries either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's so easy for that stuff to like fall in the cracks. And when you're stressed, you're not really thinking about like every single person. Just it's a lot to think about. I think we don't always think about, it's just there's way more going on with everything about grief and loss than people always see. And yeah, it's always a learning thing. Like with Kendall, she'll point out something and I'll be like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. Or, you know, we have guests on the show and I'm like, oh, that's a good point. Or, you know, I didn't think about that. And I think having these conversations are good because I think it will help somebody think about something differently. And maybe you're holding on to something you don't need to hold on to, or, you know, maybe there's something that you need to work on more and you realize it from listening to these type of conversations. So I think it's important to just keep yapping about grief and keep yapping about different things because I think it is helpful overall. We get some really nice messages of people that love hearing the conversations and have learned a lot or resonated with things. And yeah, so we haven't had a friendship one and I think it's important to have these and talk more about different losses. So we're so happy that you came on, Hannah.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. Did we say where to find you already?
FriendsMissingFriends.com or on Instagram at FriendsMissingFriends.
And we'll link that in our show notes as well so you can directly find her. And yeah, we'll be on Hannah's podcast sometime soon as well. So you'll be hearing us on the other side and we'll let you guys know when that's happening, when we figure it out and we'll post that. But we'll link it in the show notes when it happens. I'll update it to just add that information. Kendall got to talk to Hannah. This is my first time talking to Hannah. So nice to meet you. And thank you so much for coming on to our show.
Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. Enjoy. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.